British Foreign Secretary William Hague accuses Russia of trying to disrupt Ukraine's presidential election scheduled for the 25th of May.
Russia is clearly intent on disrupting or preventing those elections. I believe that is the strategy of Russia at the moment. I think there will be strong support among the nations here for Ukraine being able to have its elections. Of course, the doors of diplomacy remain open as well. And if we can find a diplomatic way forward that reduces tensions, then we must always try to do so. But that would require stronger Russian commitment.
William Hague made the statement upon arrival in Vienna for a Council of Europe meeting on Ukraine's crisis. He noted that Ukrainians have a right to elect their own government and to hold free and fair elections. He also accused Russia of not doing anything to implement a deal reached in Geneva to defuse tensions in Ukraine. His comments were echoed by French President François Hollande, who called for more pressure to force Russia to change its position on the new government in Kiev. Hollande warned that Ukraine risks descending into chaos and civil war if the upcoming presidential election is not held on time. Mr. Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus is with us live from London. Mr. Williams, welcome to the Top Five. We heard William Hague say there it depends on how much Russia would want to remain committed to its obligations, or rather something like that. And also François Hollande referring to Russia here. It looks like that, according to their viewpoint, the main player here is Russia, not the Ukrainian government. Do you agree?
Well, it's quite clear. Let us say, I mean, the protesters, so-called protesters in the east of the country on the Russian border are hardly taking tips from Gandhi in passive resistance. They're occupying buildings, they're heavily armed, they've shot down helicopters, they have heavy weaponry. So it's a bit disingenuous of Sergei Lavrov and Putin to turn around and say that the Ukrainians should not be using armed force on this occasion. You know, that's true, they should be restrained as everybody should, but it's quite clear where this stuff is coming from. It is coming from Russia. Almost everybody of the foreign parties in this is wrong. It's just that Russia seems to be more wrong than most in the various disputations.
So why do you think the Geneva deal didn't work out? I mean, Moscow then agreed to it and signed the deal. So did the other parties involved. What led to that not working?
Well, I mean, if you look at you have to puzzle about the Russian motives on this. And one motive has to be that they know that the elections would show that their man was extremely unpopular and that the revolt, far from being some type of Western organized coup, was very popular with most Ukrainians, both Russian and Ukrainian speakers. So, you know, an election actually gives the lie to everything they've been saying so far. So you can see why they might not be too eager to have an election, which would result in the defeat of the people that they've been supporting. The more chaos there is, then the more chance there is to negotiate a solution which gets some of their people back into power.
Well,
a solution would be for the Ukrainian, the Ukrainian incoming regime to make space for the pro-Russian groups in any government if they were prepared to accept it.
Well, that's a question. I mean, looking at what happened in Crimea, for one, these people who are out protesting, we couldn't, of course, say that all of them, each and every one, is somehow related to Russia or is, has been coming from the border from Russia. These are people who, a lot of them, want to actually join Russia. So if the presidential elections are held, still the grievances of these people, how is it going to be dealt with? Don't you think that this issue is still going to be unresolved?
Well, you know, I do think that the Crimeans have a very good case for self-determination like lots of other people. They have a good case for self-determination like the Chechens, who the Russians refused to allow self-determination to, for example. One of the problems of this is if you apply the principles in one case, they should be applicable in others. And the deal that was carved to stop this type of Balkan war breaking out was that the previous Soviet boundaries would be held rigid. Now, the Crimean one is an anomaly. It could be negotiated, but you can't actually hold a referendum when you're essentially under the occupation of tens of thousands of Russian troops. It does not look legitimate. It might well be. This is the type of thing where the Ukrainian government's call for international observers will work. You know, a new referendum in Crimea or a breathing period, as has happened before, before the things are reconsidered, would make a lot of space, and that's something that could be negotiated. But at the moment, the Russians aren't negotiating. They're sort of stirring the pot with one hand and saying, look, we told you so with the other.
And just before we leave you, you know, speaking of Russia's blames here, but those people who are looking at this at an international scale, they're saying we shouldn't forget that, you know, what happened in Ukraine before all this was, they say, perpetrated by Western powers, by the US and their Western allies. They say they actually staged a coup against the government. And this is what especially people in the East and South cannot accept.
It was a popular protest which some of the opportunists in the West supported. And, you know, it really doesn't bear thinking that Moscow, which for 70 years was the headquarters of the Communist International and its successors, fermenting revolutions all over the world, should raise its hands in mock horror that a democratic government supported a democratic uprising. The real agency here is the Ukrainian people. And they're the ones whose wishes were being ignored by the previous government and by the Russians in the deal that they cut. That was the beginning and end of it. Now, the West did support it. The West didn't put enough cautions on, I agree. But in the end, this is something for the Ukrainian people. And that's something that the previous regime wasn't allowing to speak. And the Russians don't want to allow them to speak either.